Well, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Couple hours of open lines for you tonight. Some programming notes for you, of course. Ian Punnett will be on our Saturday night show. And the first Sunday of every month, I do that program. So I will be here during your Independence Day weekend. And don't forget emerging artists. Producer Tom has selected some more great ones from folks all around North America. Great artists, contribute to what they do. Go to their websites. We post them Sunday night on the coasttocoastam.com website. So we'll be doing that for you Sunday night with a great live program. And then, of course, Independence Day on July 4th, which will be on Monday, will be live for you too. You know the deal. If it's a holiday, we'll work it for you. And in addition to some special things that we're going to be doing in the first hour, Michael Cremo joins us for a superb interview. I'm really excited. He talks, as you know, about ancient archaeology, forbidden archaeology, and that's going to be our Monday night show. We'll end it, of course, with a little surprise for you from Neil Diamond. It is Independence Day. So live program for you, and then we get the week underway, so we'll tell you about that. We've got open lines for you. In addition to things I wanted to talk about today and have you call me, I have got to ask you this. I am now convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that people are edgy and something is afoot. I was talking to a friend of mine today who has been so uptight. Now, this is a guy who normally is an even-keeled person, doesn't get upset, nothing bothers him. He was wound up like a spring, ready to pop. And I talked to him, and I'm not going to mention his first name. I don't want to embarrass him, but I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "Everything's going wrong. Everything's going wrong. My job is not working well. I can't get going in a relationship. Again, nothing's going right." But he's not alone. I can't tell you how many people I have seen, witnessed, who just aren't acting right. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do in addition to what we do on Open Lines tonight here on Coast to Coast. If you see this, I want you to check in with me too and tell me what you're witnessing and what you think might be happening. So we'll do all this when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast Open Lines, and let us go to the phones. We'll go to Sacramento to get things started. Terry is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Terry, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I wanted to thank you so much for the show you put on tonight about near-death experiences. It's really important that each and every one of us understands that there is life after life. I myself have had three separate near-death experiences over the course of my life, starting at age 5. And then on my last one, at age 27, back in 1988, I kind of wanted to share this with you and see if you have any information about this.
Sure, go ahead.
In the year after that I had my my third near-death experience, I couldn't wear a watch. I went through 5 watches. I blew up irons. I'd pick them up and they'd fritz out. I blew up my toaster, and even at work, fax machines and copy machines started to malfunction like crazy.
When you went by a street light, would it go out?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, definitely. Well, that ties into another aspect of my life, the street lights. I was kind of thinking about that when I was calling. I thought, well, even street lights, but that's happened all my life because I'm also a contactee. But anyway, I was wondering, do you have any information to share about, like, the after effects, the physical after effects of near-death experiences?
Some people have gone through near-death experiences, and they have been electrically charged. It's almost like they got hit and zapped by lightning.
Ah.
And I wonder if that is what is happening to you. Does this still happen, or did it go away?
It's kind of faded over the years. Of course, I'm really careful and very conscious about everything I touch, but I still to this day can't wear a watch.
That is amazing.
And to this day still, you know, it's actually pretty comforting. I walk under a street light and it goes out, but I often have had correlated that with my other phenomena going on.
So if you ever had a relationship and you kissed the guy, what happened to him?
Oh, yes, I did, actually. There was a light thunderstorm going on.
You zapped him.
Yes, I did. Actually, he was really freaked out because electricity was coming up off of my body about 6 inches. I thought it was just a really passionate kiss. But, yeah, it's been kind of interesting.
That's funny.
It is really important. I'd like everyone who's listening to really get it. This life, this body that we're in, it's not us. It's not who we truly are. And where we're at, it's a lesson. We're here to learn, to go through and to evolve. And ideally, we all want to go back home. I can tell you that I did not want to come back after my near-death experiences. I felt like a cat trying to push a cat through a portal.
You didn't want to come back? How come?
No, because I wanted to stay there. I wanted to stay on the other side. I felt like I was at home, and I felt like I was having to come back to a prison planet, literally. You know, I didn't feel free, and I was like, oh, no, I can't believe it. You're not letting me come home. You're sending me back?
Are you glad you came back now?
Oh, of course, of course. I'm not done. I'm not finished. I have more work to do.
Well, I say that's my take, too. I want to enjoy this as long as I can, but when it's time, it's time. But I don't want to get shorted.
No, neither do I. You know, after this third near-death experience as well, I also had the phenomena with the lights coming into my room. And I actually felt as though, I don't want to say it was Jesus. I want to say that I felt I was speaking with a Christed one who asked me, he asked me a question. He said to me, because my third near-death experience, I had broken my neck and dislocated my head. And I had, it was a hard road coming back.
I'm sure.
But actually, I didn't go through regular hospitals or doctors. I actually prayed and meditated for 10 days straight.
Well, that works.
It did, but it wasn't me. I believe
You had help.
Yeah, I had help, I didn't know whether to call him an angel, an angelic ET, who have always looked out for me.
Well, but assuming you still have this electrical charge, Terry, I want you to throw everybody in the audience
love
a kiss.
Oh, okay.
Just zap them all. Let's see what you may boost somebody's energy. Go.
There you go.
Was that it?
Yeah, I wanted to.
That was quiet. That was no. That wasn't any noise.
Oh, you wanted me to do a big swack.
I wanted a smack.
I thought actually what the Christed one asked me to relay. He asked me after this. He asked me. He says, "Are you impressed with my healing? I mean, are you glad that I helped you?" And I said, "Well, yes, absolutely. Thank you so very much." And then he said to me, "Now, would you be willing to tell people this story?" And at first, I thought, oh, my God, people will think I'm crazy. But then I thought to myself, he has asked me to do this simple thing, to spread the word.
Well, and that's what you're doing, and you're doing it well. Hey, Terry, thanks, and I'm glad you came back, too. Next up, let's go to Doug in Athens, Georgia, east of the Rockies. Hey, Doug, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
What's up, man? What's up, George?
Hey, all is well. Thank you.
I was wondering, actually, for a second, I heard that you might have had a near-death experience recently. You doing all right?
I'm doing great. No, I haven't had any of those. At least not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Well, I was listening not too long ago, and somebody was filling in for you, and they said that you were having a hard time or something.
No, I'm okay. I'm alive and kicking.
Right. Well, that's all gravy then. That's cool.
Probably some weekend guy who's trying to get my show.
Huh? Yeah, weekend warrior. You know what can I say? Why I was calling originally was for a near death thing, but I decided to talk about something else actually.
All right, go ahead.
It's a very interesting experience. I have a family, actually my family, that lives up in North Carolina, and I had been living in Athens, Georgia for a while, and so I moved back up for personal reasons, to live with my family for a little while.
Okay.
And I decided to take a walk out into this pasture in the woods. You know, it's like a pretty desolate area, you know, not much going on. It's pretty rural North Carolina up in the mountains.
And daytime, nighttime, were you doing this?
It was the daytime. It was about 12 o'clock.
Okay.
In the afternoon. I had just went to eat breakfast with my mom, actually. And I got back, and I was just kind of hanging out, just hanging out by the creek, you know, and I decided to take a walk up through the pasture, and my sister had been telling me about this really awesome creek that was, you know, a little bit out into the our neighbor's pastures, like quite a bit of land, lots of cows, lots of horses.
No, what makes a creek awesome?
Well, pretty much just sitting by it and listening to the creek is really
The bubbly brook.
Well, interesting enough, I was reading Carl Jung's Synchronicity at the time.
Sure.
And I took a walk, you know, I was just trying to get in touch with my spiritual side and everything. And so I was by myself, walking out into the middle of this pasture, you know, and into this creek area, which is, it's got some woods around it and stuff like that. And I was walking along the creek bed, and all of a sudden I started hearing this knocking noise.
Like knocking on a door?
Yeah, no, actually, the land is owned by some of family that has been living there just about as long as my family has, like great-grandparents, stuff like that.
What was it, like a woodpecker knocking, that kind of thing?
Yeah, sort of.
Right.
So I was walking along, and that's actually what I thought at first. Well, actually, what I thought at first was like, oh, this is my neighbor's working on something. And I was just going to be like, oh, hey, I'm one of the crumps, you know.
They're back there hammering along, away.
Yeah. And I didn't really see anybody, and I was just like walking on a creek bed, and I kept hearing this knocking noise, and it kept getting more and more intense. And I was like, well, that's weird. I didn't see anybody. And actually, it's interesting that you brought up that it was a woodpecker sort of sound, because that's what I thought, because there's pileated woodpeckers that live in that area, you know? So I was walking along, and I kept hearing this noise. It's like knocking. It sounded like somebody knocking on a door or hammering, which is why I thought it was somebody working on something, right?
All right. Speed it up, by the way, or I'll be knocking on a commercial any second here. Go ahead.
Okay. And so I'm walking along, like, to myself, you know, just trying to get in touch with nature or whatever. And there's this knocking noise that's going on. And, you know, I
hey, Dougie, jump ahead. I'm almost at a commercial. I don't want to miss
it. Okay. Oh, right on. So I walk over into the woods that's around me. After I walk out of the pasture along the creek, there's a bunch of woods around. And to the right of me, there's like a section of woods. And I hear this noise. So I walk up into the woods. Like, I turn to start walking in there. Like, that sounds like a bird. Like, I'm really interested in, like, why is this knocking? Like,
Doug, you've told me this 60 times. Get to the point.
Okay, right on. So I turn to walk up into the woods, and
okay, I got to run, Doug. We got to get this commercial. Sorry, you walked around that creek about 40 times already. Wow, Daniel, truck driving in Missouri. Go ahead, Daniel.
Hi, George. How you doing tonight?
Okay.
Hey, I have a theory that we're all aliens here on Earth. And if you're looking for an alien, you should just look in the mirror. And let me tell you why.
Alrighty.
I have pre-birth memories. I've tried to talk to you about this before, but basically what pre-birth memories are is memories of before I was born.
What do you remember?
Well, I remember making deals with other of our kind. And that this is a great experiment down here on Earth. What happened was some of our people got trapped down here in the bodies. They figured out how to experience this world by incorporating into the human species. And what we've done is we've evolved humans. And that's what's happening now, is we're going into another level. And so people are nervous. They're not really understanding what's happening to them, because when you're born, you're not actually in the body for like almost 2 months, and you got to actually fit your huge size into this tiny form.
So how does that happen? How do they do that?
The mind is a blank slate. So when you join yourself to the body, you don't have any memories left except what you implant in that small human body when you're here. When you go in, you go to sleep, and when you wake up, you have no memories of before except for what you've implanted there. So what's happening is, as we're elevating the human species, which is going to happen here real soon, more people are going to become more aware, we're expanding their consciousness.
Well, that's an interesting point. That could be. I don't know why that would contribute, though, to people being whacked out. I'm not so sure about that. Danny's in New Orleans. Hey, Danny, what's up?
Hey, George, can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
You got me right at the commercial break, and I wanted to talk to you for a minute. Well, let's start with what you were talking about. Yeah, I have noticed people are acting much more on edge, and I was working most recently as a pharmacy tech.
Okay.
And I noticed I got a little cold here, so bear with me.
Oh, it's going all over the country. Everybody's had one.
Really. I was working as a pharmacy tech, and I noticed a ton of anti-anxiety medications being dispensed. It increased the level, like just within the last year and a half.
That's unusual, isn't it?
I would think it is. And it plays right into what you've been saying for a very long time, that people are on, or not for a very long time, but people are definitely on edge, and they need something to calm them down, is the way that I'm seeing it. But
I wonder what it is, Danny. I don't think it's the economy. I don't think it's wars. There's something else going on, I think.
I totally agree with you. I don't know if it's maybe the pole shift. You know, remember when they had to adjust the magnets in Florida down at the airport? Is it something like that? Is it? I don't think it's 2012. Maybe it's 2012. Something big getting ready to happen.
I think so too. I think whatever it is, it's going to be of biblical proportions. I don't know what it is, but I think it's going to happen, and sooner than later. We're coming up to the break, but let me tell you a little bit about what's in store for the rest of the week. I already told you on Monday, Michael Cremo joins us as we talk about forbidden archaeology. On Tuesday, Jeffrey Bennett joins us as we talk about his work beyond UFOs. He's going to be talking about SETI and some other implications there. Robert Bruce, finally back on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about the Practical Psychic Self-Defense Handbook, how to fight off these astral snakes. Get ready for that. Couple guests for you on our Thursday show as we talk about, things about your personality traits and character. It's a fascinating program. But then we're back to Friday again, and we're going to be talking about gifted children, a little 7-year-old son who predicted his own death. That's an amazing story. So the week is rolling along, and then I'll be back in Los Angeles right after that. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take more of your open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Wow, what's a Friday into Saturday like without our traditional shout-out? And thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Truly a remarkable job you do. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you for everything you do. 545 stations already. Absolutely remarkable. And you Coast Insiders, by the way, less than 25 cents a day, if those of you want to sign up for that, where you get podcasting downloads, the Coast to Coast mobile for iPhone and Android now, XM Talk 168, then the various chat rooms and groups. How about the Fantastic Forum 2. That's with a number if you want to sign up for that. Fantastic Forum 2. Good people over there. Into Infinity. A great group of folks over there as well. Imaginative Worlds, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, the MySpace groups, Yahoo Chat, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis, cooking away as we speak. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Back with more open lines in just a moment. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Who's up next? We are going to Michael in Los Angeles out there. Hey, I'm told it's hot and humid these days out there, Michael. Is it that bad?
No, it's not. I'm sitting in the kitchen here, and it's pleasant. It's about 75.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to run something down to you, okay, as to why people are so nervous today.
You feel it too?
Yeah. And in the last 3 or 4 days, I've been, you know, really nervous, and so I realized what it was. It was preferential. It was preference for this call, so I understand that others are also nervous, and I just resorted to prayer, and I broke it. And what happened in 61, this started this. This is the real reason why people are so nervous, is when Kennedy was elected, he double-crossed the Bay of Pigs guys and got them killed and captured. Then he had Diem in Vietnam and his brother assassinated.
Well, I'm not sure Kennedy even knew that was going to happen.
Kennedy said, I didn't. He said right on TV, I'll never forget it. It came out, and it was like a shock. Like he'd actually, he said, I didn't think they were going to kill him.
Right, right.
And so, but that means he was in on it, and if he had a brain, any intelligence officer would have told him in the Orient, that's what they do.
That's the only way you get them out of there.
That's right. And Diem and his brother were devout Roman Catholics. They made South Vietnam happen, and there was no way they were leaving. And but the communists, we were holding Vietnam with 16,000 trainers, okay, mm-hmm. and the Vietnam Army. When they murdered Diem, that all fell apart. Soon, we were pouring thousands of people in because they were gone and Vietnam became chaotic. So we wound up with 250,000 men in there and all that death and destruction when it didn't have to happen that way.
Agree.
Next, and this just kept going on, we won the war 3 times and our politicians threw it back to the communists each time so that Vietnam was taken over, you know, when it didn't have to be taken over. We, as I say, we actually physically won that war 3 times. The Tet Offensive alone, we killed 70,000 of their troops, and General Giap, the leader of the North Vietnam Army, said, you won it 3 times. We kept wondering when you were going to demand surrender, and you never did.
Never did.
So we know that this war went on and on and on. It was a political game. It was corrupt as hell. And so we had all this murder and all this death, and then we bugged out in 75, and we let 3 million people die at the hands of the communists in Vietnam. All those dead people are on our country's books, okay? Everything that happened there is enough to make anyone's conscience very, very, very guilty, because the people of this country elected Democrat after Democrat after Democrat that it got this thing started. And then they nailed Nixon, who stopped it.
But that's not the only reason people are uptight.
Well, and wait a second now. I mean, this is cumulative, okay? Now we move on. We move on to the fact that in 62, while all this was going on, we threw God out of school. The Supreme Court said, you're out of there. Now, the first commandment says, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have strange gods before me, and I am a jealous God. We broke the first commandment. We just break it. We splintered it. We threw God out of public school, and public schools have gone to hell. And they're teaching corruption and perversion, sodomy, everything you could think of that is filthy are being given to our children. And what did Christ say to somebody that did that to a child? He said, better for that person to have a millstone tied around their neck and cast into the sea. Now, if this doesn't make us a guilty nation, I don't know what does. This is part of the cumulative effect. It is mounting up, okay? And in 1962...
So by what you're saying, though, is the sins of our fathers
that's
are coming
right.
back on us.
That's right. And a lot of the people, today are still alive that are guilty of allowing that to happen. I was 22 in 62 when God was thrown out of school.
I think there's something else afoot here. I mean, I'm not going to argue with about those points because many of them are right on. But there's something else going on here. It's not just because of the past. It's not because of those things that have occurred. getting God out of the schools and stuff. This is a different feeling. I'm telling you, people are uptight about something that is impending, and it's much more than this. It really is. Let's go to Jerry. He's truck driving. You're still near Chicago. By the time I get to you, Jerry, you'll be down in St. Louis.
Yeah, actually, I'll be in Detroit.
You're going that way. Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah, the thing is, I've been doing it the first of the year, and then just last Friday, my girlfriend would start raving, and she broke off her wedding engagement.
No!
Yeah. I don't know what happened or anything like that. I mean, she just snapped and then just said, it's over.
Are you friends? You still talk to each other?
No, there were some hurtful words that were said, and I apologized to her. I was man enough to apologize. And, you know, I wanted to be her friend. You know, I'd rather be her friend than not be anything at all. And she said no. And so basically she's changed her number. And
unbelievable.
I don't know what's going on because everything, you know, as far as my knowledge, everything was okay. And then she just snapped last Friday, and it was like it was over.
Isn't the worst part of this, Jerry, not having the answers?
Yeah.
That's what's frustrating. When they change their number and you just don't know what happened,
yeah.
I mean, that's not fair. You at least are entitled to know what the heck happened.
Yeah, that's what I try to you know, get out of her. And she just, you know, even when I did talk to her before she changed her number, she just kept on yelling and screaming at me. And it's like, I don't know what happened, you know?
There's something in the air, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I've been praying. I've been getting everybody at church to pray about it. And maybe she'll come to her senses. Because, I mean, yeah, I don't know what happened.
That is strange. All right, and Jerry's driving to Detroit from Chicago. We're jumping to Detroit right now. Here's Brandon, east of the Rockies. Hi, Brandon, go ahead.
Hey, George, I'm a Coast Insider, and I love it.
Thank you. You like the program, huh? It works.
Yeah, I love it. I take it to work with me, and I listen to MP3s all night.
Oh, that's great.
I called because I want to tell you about a dream that I had. Okay. In my dream, I had woke up and gotten out of my bed and walked to my bathroom, and I flipped the light on, and I was looking in the mirror, and as my door shut, I noticed that there was a little alien gray standing behind me.
Alien gray. I love it.
Yeah, and he looked just like the grays that you see like on TV or in movies or whatever, except for one thing. His skin was a really, really dark gray, like really ash dark gray. And that stuck out to me as different. And I remember looking at it. I'm looking at him in the mirror, and I think to myself, well, they finally came for me. So I clenched my fist, and I turned around as fast as I could to punch him in the big noggin. And right when I was about to hit him, I woke up. And I was in my bed.
Well, I'm glad you didn't pop him one. Because you never know what they might have done to you, Brandon, at all. I think Tommy's back in our Los Angeles studio, and he's got a text question here for me. Tom, go ahead.
Hey, George, we're looking forward to you coming back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, less than that, as a matter of fact. It's a week away.
Back to L.A. Hey, yep. Brenda from Encino texts in. She says, George, people are acting weird, but in a good way to me. I'm a waitress, and a man gave me a 70% tip the other night. I just wanted you to know there are still nice people in the world.
There's no doubt about it. There are some nice people in the world. But by and large, most people are acting very peculiar these days. And he is, too, but in a different way.
Yeah, more than most people are acting weird in my experiences.
You're seeing that too?
All over the place. I mean, on the roads, just driving.
Here's something else.
It's insane.
The animals are acting weird. Have you noticed that?
Not too much, but, you know, I'm
pretty friendly. Keep your eyes on that. They're acting kind of strange.
Okie doke.
All right, I was watching some squirrels today, and they are acting weird. They're up in the trees doing crazy little things. Brian is in Loma Linda, California. There he is on Coast to Coast. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, on the comment about everyone acting on edge, I definitely have felt it. My girlfriend has definitely been feeling it. She has actually been getting sick to her stomach, and she'll call me when I'm at work saying, you know, something's not right. I'm getting sick for no reason. And I've had this feeling before. I had it before 9/11. I had it before the earthquake in Japan, and something's definitely
going to happen. I've got that feeling.
I don't know where it's going to happen. I just know it's going to be big.
Yeah, you know, and I see it. Everyone I know is been reaching out more. Friends I don't talk to very often are calling me more, and families getting in touch with more people, you know. And one thing odd I've been doing is I've been kind of nesting, I guess you would say, as far as anytime I go shopping for food, I start buying more than I need. And like I'm preparing for something. I don't know what it is, but it's like an instinct.
Well, that could be could be very smart, though. You're doing something very smart.
I try to tell people, you know, be wise. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
Good point. You're very perceptive. And look, you know, this is something I've felt for at least a year. I've been telling people, warning people about this for some time. I don't know what it is, but you feel it too. Dennis is in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Dennis. Welcome to the program.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Listen, I've been listening to this channel for since 74, 75, I think it was. Well, I think King was on then, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then Art Bell took over in the 80s.
Yes. Lady.
Anyways, I used to live in L.A., so and I sort of miss it. I miss the weather anyways in the wintertime.
Oh, it's a neat city. Good people there. Of course, there's good people everywhere.
I listen to Art Bell every day. They replay his Best of Art Bell on Saturdays.
Here, right, so exactly.
I love to listen to him on Saturdays. But anyways, I'm sort of a remote viewer from sort of an operation I had, from the anesthesia, I think my brain came alive for some reason.
That's very possible.
And Reagan, when he got shot and he's had anesthesia, he got Alzheimer's from it. So that's what I'm worried about now. But anyways, I'm 67, so I get forgetful every once in a while. But anyways, I feel that the problem is that everybody's acting funny is because the price of gas is going up and down. Taxes are sky high. You won't believe the taxes are sky high. The rents here in Chicago are outrageous. And the food is high. And, you know, this cost of living is just gone sky high because I think everybody's losing confidence in Obama, you know. And that's my view.
Well, you know, all that is correct. All of that is correct. But there's something more to us. I don't know if it's because of a magnetic shift that happens to affect so many people, but something is happening physically to people to get them on edge. And I don't know if it's a prelude to something big, though I think it is. There's something afoot here. Skype line, Conway, New Hampshire. Steve's with us. Hi, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how are you, George? You sound
okay.
Well.
You too.
Hey, you know, the whole going crazy thing, everything is connected, and all of the people on the planet are part of a whole system, you know? And we already know that science has already told us that all of the planets in the solar system are heating up all at the same time. And we already know that there's a magnetic shift on this planet, that North Pole is now no longer where it used to be. It's shifting all the time. We've had to renumber all the runways, and you know, there's a change afoot, and everybody can see it. You know, there's no dispute anymore about a number of earthquakes and the severity. I have friends in Christchurch that say they're still going on, even now. You know,
with this change, which is happening, why does it make people uptight? Why doesn't it make them happy and jovial?
When you subject people, you know, you've heard these researchers, some of whom have been on your program, that tell you that when people get too close to these fields, electromagnetism and too much, you know, intensity makes people feel eerie or spooky or crazy or agitated. Mm-hmm. Well, the whole planet's doing that. The electromagnetic spectrum's shifting. That's a given. science, you know, the, when we consult people like, you know, Mitch Yukaku and those folks who get paid to be smart, they tell us. They say, look, you know, there's no dispute. These things are happening. This is a physical reality. And the thing is that a good thing to remember is that we're not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a physical experience.
What about the, what do you think about the Middle East? I'm not so sure these uprisings out there are based solely on their dissatisfaction with their leaders, which is an important point. There's something else going there, too, which could be part of this, right?
The level of crazy. I mean, anybody that digs further into those stories about what's happening over there than what the mainstream media can offer them, when you really dig into it and get to other news sources that show you the stuff that maybe you don't want to see, the level of crazy that's going on over there is just, you know, it's like something out of a movie. They're going nuts. I mean, on a large scale. And maybe it has something to do with what Hoagland talks about, whether we're at the right spot on the planet, whether our vortexes of energy. I mean, that could tie into that whole cosmic, you know, solar system, you know, shift as we go up and down the kaleidoscope ride of around and around the record player there, as it were, as we get into the galactic center. That's appearing to have some validity as we look at the calculations and look at the explanations. The theories seem to have some commonality. I mean, it's the crazy is increasing. And I was just talking to someone online the other day, and I said, you know, if we talk about something in the future, what would you like to talk about? And she said, the lack of civility.
Uh-huh.
It's disappearing. And this is a woman who, she talks to people all the time. She's a writer. I mean, her job is to communicate with people. She said, at the gas station or at lunch or you name it, people are just snotty to each other, like more and more. It's like, what did I do to you?
It's this me, me, me attitude. Try getting in line at some place and watch the people either in front or behind you. Nobody's happy.
No, they're not happy. It's almost like they're zombified.
Well, and if you smile, the zombies will turn around and get you. So you got to be careful about that. Steve, thanks for the call. We're at the top of the hour. We'll come back with more Open Lines on Coast to Coast AM.